The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and happy Saturday. February the 5th already. January flew by. And we're recovering from an idiotic snowstorm where we were supposed to get 8 to 12 inches of snow. And instead we got about 4 inches of snow and 6 inches of ice. And I don't know. It's crazy. But hey, it's going to be a beautiful week upcoming with the weather-wise. And I'm glad you're here with us this morning. And we've got a special guest. He's a Saratoga All-Star, and he's been inducted into the Talk Saratoga Hall of Fame because he's one of our frequent guests, Matt Veach. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm glad you're here from getting out of the driveway. It's terrible, this snow.
It's a shoveling after we're done. That's what I'm going back
shoveling
to do.
Shoveling nightmare, I'll tell you. I think I'll be
shoveling
trying
and snow blowing and trying to move ice around.
Nah, you're not going to get down to the bottom. I did it yesterday. I did the snow blowing, and there's about a 2-inch ice pack, snow pack you can't get up. So we'll do it this week when it's in the 30s and 40s, so it'll be fun. Matt, this morning, we had talked about doing this. It's going to be a series, and you'll be on every so often, not only in your supervisor role, because we talk about the updates, what's going on in the county, but Saratoga history. Your family's got a long line of presence in Saratoga and a long line of history, so we'll talk about some things from time to time.
Yeah, so not that it makes me the number one authority in Saratoga.
Well, I know, but you're 1A, so...
But there's a lot more people who know a lot more than I do about Saratoga history. But at the end of the day, you know, my family's history goes back 5 generations, probably a little farther than that. We essentially, you can only track the Veach name back to about the 1920s.
Okay.
So we're not natives.
You're not natives.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I just said that. But
yeah, but you're... I don't know. What constitutes a native?
Right.
I mean, when you were born
right.
here, you're a native. You're
we
a
married
native.
Into the natives That's that were right. here already. So, but the family ran a business called the Burnham's Hand Laundry, and it was located at what is now the Old Bryan Inn.
Wow.
So the family that owned the Old Bryan Inn building, I believe their last name was Burnham.
Okay.
For Burnham's Hand Laundry.
Right.
They were the ones that were already here.
Okay.
And another family named LaMontagne, which there's a few Burnhams left, I think, in town. And LaMontagne is, I think, around still a little bit, too, for here and there. But so my family comes from horse racing, and that's how we got to Saratoga. So my grandfather's grandfather
right.
was a champion steeplechase, you know.
Jockey
and trainer
really?
In Canada.
Okay.
So that's what that's about as far back as we can trace in our family from that side.
So really, you could become a Canadian citizen if you wanted because of your family. That's one of the only ways you can become a citizen
oh, really?
Of Canada is if you have a Canadian family
lineage
member
you can
down.
Find.
Yeah. But so you can have dual citizenship up there.
So
what was the Old Bryan Inn before, let's say, the Burnham family bought it or the families that owned it before him?
I mean, I think it was, you know, like a tavern in Saratoga. So
okay.
a tavern lodging type thing. You know, I don't know that for sure.
I thought I had heard, based on its look. Yeah, I thought I had heard sometime where it was like a jail back in the 1700s. And that may just be, you know, a story I heard. But
So I mean, if you want to go back into that kind of history, so Saratoga had what they called the upper village and the lower village, right? So before there was a village of Saratoga Springs, there was the upper village and lower village. And part of the upper village was the Old Bryan Inn.
Okay.
So that was where the, there was two like neighborhoods. So one was kind of down around Congress Street and Washington Street, down where the Congress Park is.
Sure.
That was the lower village, and then the upper village was the, up in that area, Rock Street and High Rock Park area. So there was two little kind of areas that started to form. And so that was part of the upper village. But I believe it was more likely a, you know, lodging establishment and a tavern for travelers going through that area from south to north, west, east.
This was the main route to Canada from Montreal back in the days. And
Yes, and so Maple Avenue was the original, like, main street out of Saratoga before the arterial was built.
Yes.
And there was a railroad line along where the arterial was. That was the railway to get into town.
Okay.
But the main roadway to get out of town or into town was through Route 9. So I was going to get into it a little bit later, but
we'll do that.
Whole Let's area up the... there was, you know, was something different before the city center, obviously.
Oh, sure.
And the roadways were built in such a way that made it so you kind of took a turn to the right when you got to the point where you got to the end of the city center, where there's that light. Right now you go toward the arterial, but you would have made a hard right and then a hard left
up to Route 50
and gone down through that area.
Okay.
And the Old Bryan Inn or in the, at that time, the Veatch residence or Burnham House, Burnham's Hand Laundry was along that main street.
Okay.
Right? So it was part of the main road of businesses and residences that were in the area.
Sorry to bring you into that because there's more of that, and that leads into other areas. But I want to go back to the lineage of, you know, from your great-great-grandfather being in the horse industry up to your father, actually to you too. I mean, your father was a great sports writer.
Yes.
And, you know, mainly with horses. And, I mean, really well recognized. And you, I mean, serving as a supervisor on the racing committee over the years, it seems like that's natural.
Yeah, I'm currently on the NYRA local advisory board, which is, you know, there's a group of citizens from Saratoga Springs, the county, and NYRA, they get appointed to this board. We're the only one that there actually is in the state, even though there's the opportunity for Queens and Nassau County to have one for the other tracks. But we're the only one that's active and actually get together. And so we are the NYRA local advisory board, and I serve on that as part of my role as supervisor. But back to the family thing a little bit. So so he was a steeplechase jockey, and he had five kids. And so every single one of them, except for the daughter, were I got involved in racing.
Okay.
Right. So my great grandfather was a jockey. You know, short statured people.
Sure.
Well, yeah. And so he rode horses, and you know, he was not as successful as a trainer, but you know, he did ride. And then his job actually at one time was the steward of the racing museum here.
Oh,
where he was kind of like the person in charge up when the racing museum was done. So he worked there for a long time. But and then his brothers were really more successful. So Sylvester Veatch was my uncle, my great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He was a champion trainer.
Okay.
And so he may have rode at one time, but he became a trainer. And, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame down on in the Racing Hall of Fame because he had some... You know, he trained for C.V. Whitney, so, you know, one of the best stables in the nation.
That's right.
Still. And, you know, had a lot of champion horses, you know, won the major races and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they were big. Yeah, like you said, it was a major owner of the time.
So he did very well. And then his son, John, was the trainer of horses like Aladar and things that we would remember from our lifetime.
Okay.
You know, Proud Truth, horses that won the Breeders' Cup. So he trained for many years, and I he's still involved in racing, but I'm not exactly sure what he does now. He was the chief steward of Kentucky for a long time.
Okay, so he lives down.
Yeah,
down
but he I don't know exactly his role in racing now.
Sure.
But,
now that would be your father's
second cousin.
Okay, all right.
So so that's really the part of the family that had a lot of success in racing. And then his brother Leo was also a trainer and did fairly well, but not Hall of Fame quality. And then their other brother, Thomas, who we all called Chammy for some reason, was a jockey.
Because he was a champion.
Yeah, yeah. so we had a lot of horse racing from the Veatch side. And so the story is, of course, that, you know, when they came for the summer meet, somebody had to get their laundry done. They used Burnham's hand laundry as the laundry.
Right.
And then my great-grandfather and great-grandmother met through that. And
that's interesting.
That's the story, right? So yeah. So the Old Bryan Inn was the family home for a lot of years from about... Really, the ownership of the Old Bryan was from the 50s to, like, the late 1970s. Okay. So we're the family that sold it to Sully and the gang Old Bryan Inn.
For the Old Bryan Inn.
Right. So it wasn't really my dad's side of the family, per se, but my grandfather's brother, my uncle,
right,
was the one that really owned it and sold it. So as a kid, I remember, young kid myself, I was born in 1972, so I turned 50 this year. Yay.
Wow. Well, hey, I don't want to talk about it.
But as a young child, you know, into my 4 or 5 years old, I remember going there for family parties and family reunions and getting together with all the cousins and everybody. And, you know, by that point, there was kind of an extensive, you know, lots of relatives, you know, throughout the city at that point.
Yeah.
And so we would have these parties in the... You know, right now where the covered area is, the outdoor dining, that was like just a yard.
Okay.
And there was like a picnic table there. And I have some family movies of us running around in the side yard.
Now, the city
of the
center is next to that.
Yes.
What was there back, you know, can you remember what was there when you were growing up?
Yeah, I have some vague memories of that area as a child. Most of it got torn down when I was maybe 10 or 12.
Okay.
Early 1980s, late 1970s. But there were, and again, I study urban renewal, which is really what caused that area to be changed, you know, over time. But there was a beverage center right next door. So there was like Ferone's Beverage, mm-hmm. and then, or Saratoga Beverage, I guess it was called. And I think it eventually became Minogue's.
Okay.
You know, bought out and moved.
Yeah.
There was a gas station there in that area, Gully Simpson's gas station, and then a lot of private residences, you know, apartments, houses, things like that. So, you know, depending on your perspective, it was either a really nice area of homes of people who live there, or it was run down and needed to be, you know, torn down. So,
'60s was it or '70s?
Probably in the '70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and again, to go, the topic today is conventions, and we're going to get to that part of it.
Sure.
But, you know, the area itself there was other streets there. So, like I mentioned before, kind of taking that hard right and then a hard left down Maple, there was Van Damme Street. Just went all the way straight through. Like it didn't end at that point where it ends now. It went straight down to Maple.
50.
And Catherine Street was the other street that had a like kind of an offshoot going north.
Okay.
So there was like little streets in there, a couple of alleys behind houses that were all in that area. So it was like a residential neighborhood basically.
Well, you look at it now and it's very hard to imagine that.
Yes, and on Broadway, of course, there was 3 or 4 buildings that, you know, ran up toward where the arterial is now.
Okay.
So there was, you know, one of the most famous ones, of course, is the Bread Basket, which was on the corner of Broadway and what was then called Grove Street. Now it's called Ellsworth Jones Place.
Right.
But at the corner of the city center where it's all glass now, that was the Bread Basket building.
Okay.
So where the Bread Basket is on Spring Street, that actual physical structure was there.
And it was moved.
And, and it got picked up and literally moved from that spot to where it is today on Spring Street. And it's a long story. I won't get into it today.
We only
have an hour.
That's a good story to tell, though, on a future show.
One of the first successes in preservation, you know, the Preservation Foundation and their start was really sort of saving that gas station. And I can go into why I find that very interesting, but
got other shows to do.
But it was very cool. And then there was a couple of really big hotels. The American Legion was on Broadway. That's something I remember as a kid because they had that ship's bell, the USS Saratoga bell, was in front of it, and I remember that as a kid walking by that bell.
Now the American Legion is that on West Ave? Now?
Okay. Yep. So that's where they relocated to, and bell is still up front.
I drive by.
If you drive by it, you'll see there's like a little bell there. And So, but it used to be right on Broadway.
Okay.
And then there was a couple of other, like, you know, hotels and, you know, rooming houses. And then there was a Comstock's Mansion, and there's a lot of controversy around that. And and then the original EMS service was there at the was at that area, too. So the Saratoga EMS service was located on Broadway over by Van Damme Street.
Now, wasn't the, well, it used to be the Firehouse Restaurant. Now mm-hmm. it's Fornals. Wasn't that a the Firehouse?
Okay. That was an original fire station for Saratoga, right. Yeah.
My
and interestingly, down on Maple, that was one of the ones that was in historical documents where it was photographed before they tore it down. And
okay.
Literally, it was called like Engine House 1 or something.
Now, my wife's great-great-grandfather, Chalmers, I think was his last name, was the fire chief of Saratoga for 50 years.
Oh, nice.
When they had the horse-drawn fire engines, and then even into when they modernized to the vehicles. And a matter of fact, he was killed at a fire.
Oh, dear.
A fire truck back there. The chief always had his own car.
Yep.
And they went to a fire, and fire truck backed up and pinned him against the car. But if you go into the local restaurant and you go sit at the back table, there's a big, large picture of a fireman with a white, big handlebar mustache, and that's him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was in there one day, and I said, how do you get a picture of him in there?
That's
and
cool.
They said, well, we just found it striking about an old fireman. Yeah, that's what you would think he would look
right,
like.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's him, but, yeah.
Wow, that's cool. But, yeah, that building was the old firehouse, and there's photographs of that with the firemen out in front, you know,
sure.
Victorian era, you know, type stuff. But yeah, there was another engine house over on Maple.
Okay.
And that got torn down in urban renewal. So, so that when I was going through that documentation, I did find that. So that's maybe one of the, although it doesn't say anything about the old Bryan Inn because, it didn't get torn down. So it wasn't part of the urban renewal area.
Right.
I mean, it was, but it was one of the ones that got saved and the other houses that are on Maple that are across kind of from the old Bryan Inn, there's like two houses, and then there's like another thing. Like, those are like the only couple of houses that got saved. And
all right.
At some point, we can go through a long dissertation about, you know, the intricacies of urban renewal.
Oh, well, definitely.
You know, right now, it is Black History Month. And so, if you look at the west side of Saratoga, you know, that's a very sad part of their history, and you know, it's unfortunate, but on the north side, it was more there may have still been African-American families there,
right.
But it was more of a white neighborhood. They're Jewish.
Okay.
And that's another part of urban renewal we can talk about at some point. But like the hotels on Broadway, the Hotel Brooklyn and the Hotel Lincoln, they were owned by Jewish proprietors,
right?
And so you know, I don't really want to get into the politics of that, but, you know, there's an interesting twist to all of that, and we need to, at some point, we can discuss that.
Well, I know
that.
The West Side, too, was Irish at one time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then Italian.
Yep.
And I think every city went through transitions like that of ethnic groups. I know Amsterdam was, like the Italian area ended up becoming the Polish area, and the Italians moved to the south side. And I think that happened in every city.
Because
I mean, we're all immigrants that came.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Principessa Elena is still there in that area. So it's like the traditional area of where the Italian-American Association is, right, of Saratoga.
Yeah.
As well as the Frederick Allen Lodge. So, I mean, those two groups were traditionally in that area.
Right.
And so that's why those organizations kind of are still sitting there.
And that's great, though. That's great.
Love both of them.
Yeah. Oh, most
so,
definitely.
They're fantastic. And you know, if you ever get a chance to do the Frederick Allen Lodge barbecue, oh, my God, what a great time.
Aren't
that's
they?
Fantastic.
They're great.
Yeah,
it really is. And it has a lot of history. That's what I like about buildings and organizations that still stand from, you know, way back, because there's a lot of character, and to be around that long, you have to have fun and do some good things. So, and they both do.
Yep.
As well as a lot of them.
So kind of back to the topic.
Yep.
So, you know, again, back to that. I mean, so that's kind of how we got here as a family, and you know, again, still kind of, my dad still lives in that same kind of neighborhood. So he's been there the whole time, you know, grew up in the old Brighton Inn and then, you know, moved to Circular Street, which was right near there.
Right.
And my grandparents used to live up the street from us on Circular Street. And then they wound up moving to another part of town at one point. But so the family all kind of lived still in that area, even after the building was sold, you know, for the restaurant. And, you know, it didn't look like that. You know, that I do remember that the old Brighton Inn was just a family home at the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the walls were sheetrock, you know, those big areas kind of were cut into smaller rooms and various things. So it didn't look like it did inside. Like they didn't live in the
restaurant
tavern.
We didn't have a big bar in the house. Had a bed behind the big bar, you know. He entertained a lot.
So it was just a regular family home at the time. But, you know, I do remember having some family reunions there, and that was fun and everything. But,
yeah.
You know, so it's a good history and a good part of Saratoga.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we talk about the lineage from the horse business with your jockeys and trainers. Your father was a teacher.
Yep.
But he also, I became one of the top thoroughbred sports writers, and he's in the Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he?
They have like a, it's not actually down in the Hall of Fame area. I think it's like in a different part of the museum, but they have like a Turf Writers Hall of Fame for the media who reported on racing, right?
Yeah.
And there's some pretty famous names on that from those eras of, you know, the glory days of racing, which, interestingly enough, you know, we've had some really good years in racing the last couple of years.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, despite the, you know, there are some obviously controversial things about racing and some people who don't like racing and that's fine. But, you know, the pandemic kind of reinvigorated the sport to some extent.
Yeah, it did.
Because I think that people were looking for something to do. It was really hard to find outlets for entertainment. And that kind of came back as a thing that, you know, people, you know, hadn't done in a long time and then wanted to do you know, got back into it a little bit. So NYRA had a really good year last year.
Well, you know what though? I mean, during the pandemic of, you know, 2020, of course, fans weren't allowed.
Yes.
They continued the racing though.
Yes.
And they made
$2
million a profit more than they did the year before, which was a big year. And that was a good, like you said, a good outlet because Saratoga adapted very well to the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had our trouble with businesses and that, but we supported local businesses any way we could. But restaurants were innovative in that it was summertime, they could do this. They had a large outdoor area. They set up TVs, and you can bet on your phone and everything on the internet. And we got a lot of influx of people that still, they showed the races every day on TV.
Yep.
And
King's Tavern right across the street did that.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, come over, you know, right across from the track.
Sure.
And have your somewhat track experience.
Exactly. Well, right? the one, I know like the Westside Stadium and the one downtown that has the back courtyard. I never can remember the name. The hotel. Up from the Rip Van Dam going north.
Like the Adelphi?
Adelphi.
Yeah, the Adelphi.
They had that big out there. I know several people that went there.
Yeah.
And interesting. A beautiful setting. So it was innovative to keep racing alive. And after that, I mean, like you said, people were pent up and they needed that outlet again. And, of course, you could travel.
Right.
And we did have a busy year. I mean,
Again, I think the outdoor dining thing is a great thing for Saratoga. I some people may not believe that, but, I think overall it was successful for us. I travel often to Plattsburgh where I went to college.
School, right.
And, they have had outdoor dining there for many years, right? The same similar thing where they set up those barriers, kind of cut off a little bit of parking and allow people to dine outside. And they've been doing that for, you know, at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's very successful for them. So I think it would make sense for us to do that as well.
Oh, most definitely, because our streets down that area are wide enough.
Yes.
And Broadway anyway, that, and I know a lot of restaurants now have, even if it's a small outdoor dining, I think that's becoming more popular,
yes.
like you said, because other cities do it and have great experiences.
Yep.
And,
yep.
and you can
and
get
so I think
there,
I think there's a good, I know that's something that the new commissioner is working on to try to expand, right?
Okay.
And make it kind of more of a permanent thing, at least for a time period. So I, you know, I support and appreciate him for doing that because
sure.
I think it's a good idea.
Now what commissioner would that be?
Moran.
Oh, the accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the ones that do the licensing and set
right.
that up. John Frank was really behind it
yeah.
originally. Yeah,
right.
So I kind of passed that torch to the new commissioner. And
well, that's good.
Know, so I, you know, again, I think it's a good idea for us. And, you know, there may be more expansion coming. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not really privy to all their discussions, but
yeah.
at the end of the day, I think it's a good thing. But let's just get back to conventions
yeah.
a little bit.
Right,
that was
right.
the original idea.
And that's another adapting that Saratoga did about the conventions.
Yeah.
Because we used to have, like you had mentioned, a lot of big hotels that had been around for a long time. And I think, wasn't the American Hotel or the Grand Union one of the largest hotels?
Yes. Probably in the country.
In the country.
At the time. Yeah.
yeah.
So, after the springs were discovered, right, in the what we would call the Lower Village,
sure.
You know, that became the era of maybe post-Civil War to, like, 1950, you know, was kind of an era of health and wellness like we have today, right? So,
mm-hmm.
But it was that natural spring water. And even we are kind of doing that again now, where you want natural products that are good for you and,
sure.
you know, whatever. So Saratoga had the natural springs, right? Discovered early on in our history that was a kind of a feature of our city or of our village. And, you know, we tried to bring people here for that. And so the first hotels, you know, built by Gideon Putnam,
right.
you know, were to attract visitors to come and sample the waters and have a, you know, healthful, you know, experience here in Saratoga and, you know, make it a tourist destination. Right. So, you know, as time moved on, we grew. At the time, we were still a village, so we weren't a city yet. At some point, maybe we can talk about that. But, you know, our city and town, our village and town became a city. That's how we did it.
Right.
We used to have a town of Saratoga Springs.
Sure, and was back in the early...
right.
The date is up on City Hall.
1871 is when they
yeah,
built Town Hall.
Right.
Even though it's City Hall now, it was called Town Hall back
right.
then. And it still has that thing on the seal, but
just to digress about the springs,
yeah.
It was one of our local historical figures, Sir William Johnson,
yes,
who was instrumental in defeating the French during the French Indian War and kind of saved us in this
yes.
area from speaking French. he was an Indian agent down in the Mohawk Valley,
yes.
and owned all of Johnstown, the property. And he brought the Indians from that area to fight with the English. He got injured in the war, and they brought him to Saratoga. The
right.
Indians brought him to Saratoga for the springs.
Yes.
And he did. I
yes.
mean, it was great. So
yeah, Fort Johnson is named.
Fort Johnson is after, yeah, named after him.
Yeah, so,
but I mean that the springs did, like you said, played an important part in Saratoga.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean he's, you know, the Native Americans obviously were the founders of Saratoga, but
mm-hmm.
you know he's considered the European founder of Saratoga.
Okay.
And there used to be a sign on High Rock Park, and maybe it's still there, where it said up by the old Bryan Inn, where it said, you know, Sir William Johnson, 1777
mm-hmm.
or something like that is
yeah.
the thing. But after that, you know, it became a, you know, the word got out that there was this place where they had healing springs and
yep.
you can come here. And so springs ran really all the way through the whole village, right? So the High Rock was the first one, obviously, and that's the one where people, you know, they know that's kind of the founding.
That's right.
But even downtown back in those days, there were many springs that were around in downtown. I mean, right now we have, you know, like the Hathorne Spring, and we have a couple in Congress Park, right?
Right.
But all along Broadway, there were, you know, you could dig into the ground and waters would come out.
Oh, yeah. I dug
right?
a well, hand dug a well in my house,
right.
and I only had to go down 15 feet.
right. And, and underneath the bedrock is like a, you know, air pocket, and that's
okay.
where that carbonation comes from, right?
Right?
So if you get far enough down, all of a sudden the air shoots out and the water comes with it, and you get this carbonated water from
yeah.
the ground, right? And but there was many, many more along downtown, and, you know, back in the Victorian days, there were springs in a lot of different places, not
okay.
just a few. And back then, the state didn't own them, or the city didn't own them. So proprietors, private entities would could dig a spring, it their centerpiece, make money off of it, sell water, right, basically, and that's how Saratoga's economy started to grow.
Well, Saratoga Vichy Water.
Right.
And Excelsior was a well-known water, and it did have a unique flavor. When I was bartending, it was still it was still popular. Sold in the green bottle with the yellow label, and people would come in and want a Scotch and Vichy or club soda. The club soda didn't have any minerals in it, but people liked the Vichy water.
Yes, I did. I thought it was great. Straight up. I didn't need to have alcohol in it.
Really?
It was good.
Well, you lived in the O'Brien Inn, and you had that big bar in your living room. So.
It was good. Supposedly, it was a good way to wash the bar, too. You could pour that water on it. But you know, so eventually the city got the idea that we could attract more people if we started to hold conventions in Saratoga, right? So, you know, how do we get a top quality convention hall? And, you know, the village was the ones that put up the money for the convention hall. It did go over budget, as many projects do, but it was a really nice, imposing kind of, you know, I'll guess call it like in the style of the military museum, kind of that imperial brick, you know, imposing structure.
Talking about the current.
No, we're talking about convention hall.
Oh, the convention hall. Okay.
Which was located on Broadway.
Right.
Next to where the Death Wish Coffee is now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
So where that, there's condos in that spot now.
Yep.
The Congress Park Center, I think it's called, or Congress Park,
Yeah, well,
it's one of those downtown condos.
Yeah, on South Broadway.
right on Broadway, going down the hill across from the Spot Catholic School.
Right, just up from the Congress Park. Yeah.
So that's where conventional was, like a 5,000 seat, you know, facility. So it went back over the edge of where you drop down into Congress Park and went all the way back to the back of the property there.
Okay.
And, you know, it had like, you know, bleachers and seats and things, and it was a convention center, basically. Yep. And, you know, we would hold conventions from everything from, you know, the auto dealers of New York State to the Democratic and Republican convention would be held in Saratoga for the state of New York. Many, many years, I think the Republicans did it. The Democrats did it for quite a few years as well. Sure. So you would get, you know, people like FDR, when he was getting, you know, running nominated for governor, he was coming to Saratoga, and other political figures would show up, and convention hall would be the spot that they would do that. So it was very successful for the city to have convention hall. But over time, like many municipal projects and municipal government type things, couldn't put the maintenance in, hard to raise taxes to fund it. How do we keep it going? You know, it becomes an aging building.
Sure.
You know, the seats were, from pictures that I can tell, were wooden folding chairs.
Yeah.
And so uncomfortable, you know, at times, you know, they'd had to pull out sections of the chairs because the water would leak from the ceiling. It would ruin the chair. They would pull them out. And so eventually the numbers of seats would shrink. And, you know, that it became kind of a difficult thing to maintain for the city overall. Directly through the government,
kind of slowed the demise of
but they were still doing things right up until, you know, the end of it, where they would have the basketball games, you know, for high school basketball would be held there.
Well, even traveling teams. Remember Bob Gass?
Yeah,
he was a basketball coach, and so they used to get some good teams that came in there. Like the Globetrotters.
Yep.
And that, and you know, I mean, you think about a little city back then, of Saratoga, to have all these travelers.
But they did, you know, professional wrestling, and they, you know, they did, you know, there. But there was also concerts of legitimate groups. I mean, it was a place where, I mean, the last concert there I know was Peter, Paul, and Mary, and that's one of those things. But you know, so at the time, you know, around the late 60s or mid 60s, you know, they were having some of those, you know, smaller acts that were national level acts. So this is before SPAC was built. So, you know, it wasn't the same as SPAC where you could get 20 or 30,000 people if you had to. It was a smaller venue. But at the end of the day, we were doing that kind of thing in Saratoga. But really at the time, it was kind of, you know, on its, you know, moving toward a place where it was becoming the aging structure, right? And it was hard to continue to maintain. So it was either going to have to be completely redone or knocked down. And back in the you know, 60s, we thought differently about preservation. And so old Victorians were not necessarily looked at as something we want to keep. We would want to build a modern structure in its place. That mindset is completely different now. But what happened is across the street from the convention center was a hotel called the Columbian Hotel, one of the old Victorian hotels. It had been vacant for a little bit of time, and it was November. I don't remember the date exactly, but it was November 65, if I believe. And supposedly two youngsters were smoking in the back with cigarettes and got out of control in the back of the Columbian vacant structure. Boy. And, of course, it caught fire.
Yeah.
And it was one of those days in November where, like, it wasn't raining or anything, but it was very windy, right? Okay. The time of change of seasons was coming, right?
Yeah.
And the winds were blowing in from the north, and it was a very windy. So, of course, the Columbian caught fire. The wind blew the embers across the street to Convention Hall, and the rest is, you know, history. Within a day,
yeah.
Convention Hall burned to the ground. And
wasn't that how some of the bigger hotels,
The U.S., I believe. No, yeah. I don't even think the U.S. was. But no, there weren't a lot of fires on hotels.
Really?
A lot of,
I remember my father-in-law. Maybe it was a convention center telling me he took, you know, like the Columbian my wife and that down as kids. They watched the buildings burn. You know?
I watched the Presbyterian Church burn down on Broadway in the 70s when that happened. But no, a lot of the hotels were torn down.
Okay.
For many reasons. And, you know, again, I think the Grand Union, I think, still stings a lot of residents why we had to do that. You know, and
I know.
Especially to put up a strip mall in its place was really unfortunate. But so Convention Hall burned down. So that became a problem for the city, right? And again, if we don't necessarily look back at it this way, but in the 1960s and early 1970s, Saratoga was in a difficult place as a community. You know, people went to the racetrack and then left town at the end of the day. They didn't stay. You know, they didn't go back downtown for the nightlife or stay downtown for the week or weekend and hang out here.
It was the August place to be.
Yeah, between 1 and 6 p.m.
Right? Okay, that's about it.
Because the races started and ended, and then you went home.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I always tell this story, but I'm not sure if this is true. I always preface this, so I'm not sure this is true. But, you know, we have that little slip ramp on I-87, right?
Okay.
If you go out, what is it, Crescent Ave?
Right.
Go past Nelson, and then there's the one ramp to go south.
South, correct.
But there's no other exit there, right?
That's right.
So my thought on that, and I'm probably wrong, but I'll just say it, is that there's a reason why that was done that way. The Northway was built in the late 1960s,
mm-hmm.
and the idea was when the track got out, the fastest way to get out of town to was to take that slip ramp. No,
right?
It's not even an exit, right? It's just a slip ramp.
That's right. It's an entrance
right,
to
right.
the Northway.
So the races got out and drive straight up Nelson Avenue and go right down the slip ramp, and you're out of town, right? I mean, that was the... I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems
true. Well,
you know
what? It would make it so because they even had big crowds back then for the races. So.
But at the time, it was 6 p.m., 8th race, 9th race got over, you go home, right? There was no, like, going downtown and hanging out for the rest of the night or having dinner.
No.
You know, you left. And so so the city was really struggling about how to get a convention hall back in Saratoga. And the idea was... I'm kind of glad it never happened, was to put it in Congress Park. They were gonna move it over by the casino. And there was, I have these great pictures, and radio's hard to show pictures, but you know, great pictures of this building that they wanted to build as the convention hall. I mean, it looks like a spaceship landed from Mars.
Wow.
And they were gonna like drop it right on top of Spring Street. They were gonna reroute the roads around it. So like right where the carousel is, right, they were going to take that whole area and just like kind of remove the streets and everything and expand the park toward that parking lot, like where the Hathorn Spring is.
Sure.
And put this convention center like right there in the gut.
That would have been terrible.
And then run streets kind of like in a weird like S pattern around it, which to me just looked, I mean, when you look at it, it's like, I can't believe they were considering it, but. This was the 60s, and a lot of the ideas were modern-looking buildings,
right.
Ultra-modern, and car, centered type development, right? So, so the idea would be that there would be easy in and out for your vehicle coming to the convention, right? Yeah. And so not so much about like the urban fabric of the city and destroying the streetscape.
Right, the aesthetic outlook of the city.
Right, it was more of we need a convention center and we need it now and it needs
That's
to
right.
look like it's from, you know, the Jetsons, right?
Yeah. Hey, so, I want to just take a little break there. We'll get back to the convention center downtown. Put a plug in here that you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And if you have any questions or you're interested in asking that anything, you can give us a call at 518-580-5783. Getting back, you know, you can't show pictures on the radio. And I say, thank goodness, because I have a radio face. So if I was on TV, that would be it, you know. But anyway, all right. So they were going to drop the convention center in Congress Park. And as it turned out, with them reinvigorating Congress Park or refiguring that, that's a jewel of the city in itself. So I'm kind of glad they didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And really, at the time, it was a full city kind of idea to try to do something.
Yeah.
You know, so I always say that the city was desperate for
something.
For
revenue and
something.
Getting people in
right.
the city.
Downtown was not the place you know today, right? It was, you know, the buildings were run down, vacant stores, you know. You and I talk about Gloversville a lot. similar to every other small city in New York.
Every small city went through the same thing. The main industry went, or, you know, everything went down. And, it's unfortunate. Gloversville's a lot like Saratoga with their building structure.
Yes.
I put some pictures up on Facebook of downtown Gloversville, and someone said that the person that designed Broadway back in the early days is the same one that designed the buildings in Gloversville. Because if you look at the buildings, they're all Victorian on the Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a friend, she went, took her sister down there for a ride, and she loved the buildings.
It's a nice city, like a lot of them. I mean, look, they're nice old urban areas. And you know, again, I don't speak for any other community, but, you know, how do they revitalize them? How do they build them back up? I mean, one of the great things about Saratoga and use it as a county wide is that Saratoga has been as successful as it has been, and it's now having some spillover effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and again, as a county supervisor, I look at it from kind of sometimes from a county perspective.
Right.
I mean, look at Boston Spa and the revitalization that's happened there.
And
Schuylerville is even getting some, you know, nice restaurants in downtown, and people are going there to. So it's kind of like this spillover effect into some of the other urban areas of the county, because Saratoga has now kind of built itself up, right? And it's becoming, you know, expensive. We know that,
right?
And so it's cheaper to run a restaurant in Boston Spa because the rents are lower,
right?
And there's some pretty great places on Front Street in Boston Spa. You know,
our area is getting to be like you said, with the spillover. The restaurants go there, and then before you know it, the businesses go there, and they're building up.
Yeah, and even Glens Falls is starting to have a renaissance as a city. So, you know, because it's that idea of, you know, attracting people, and again, that the whole city center versus convention center idea, we can even talk about that you know, how the difference between Glens Falls and Saratoga's histories went because of that, the way they chose their downtown convention center.
Sure.
But, you know, so moving on, I mean, so in the 60s, there was a lot of things that the city was trying to do. The arterial was not going to end at Van Dam Street. It was going to continue on through basically the areas of Franklin Square and over toward, you know, you can kind of almost see it if you're in Saratoga today, right? The four-lane highway ends at Van Dam, but kind of starts up again once you get over by State Park, right? Or even by the shopping center. It's kind of wide and open there.
Yep.
That was the idea. We were going to run this kind of arterial around the downtown to allow for good traffic flow, right?
Yep.
Bad idea. I'm glad it never happened. But at the end of the day, that was some of the thoughts, that, you know, we were going to have this, you know, arterial structure through downtown. And, it, you know, I'd say the the most challenging example of that is Amsterdam, where they took that to the extreme.
Oh gosh,
you know, I was down there over the weekend, and I was like, I turned around and I'm like, am I on the same road that I was on? I don't
even people in Amsterdam can't believe what they did, what the mayor Gamulka did. But I had a business down in Amsterdam, and I had to meet my insurance agent, and he called me up. He said, I don't know how to get off of these roads. He said, I keep going in a circle. I had to meet him at the Holiday Inn. I kept seeing his car go around. He'd disappear for about 3 minutes. Then it would go around again. He said, how do I get there?
Yeah,
So they killed downtown Amsterdam with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad story. And luckily, Saratoga never went that direction, right? I mean, it was on the table at one time.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah, to build arterials and circulating traffic around downtown, and we never did it, thankfully. But so then what happened is, of course, urban renewal was starting in the late 60s, and as we went forward through trying to figure out what to do about a convention center, that eventually got on the table. So the second project of urban renewal is the North Project, the Spring Valley Project, which included the city center property. And through a lot of kind of, you know, getting state approval and those kind of things, the city was able to get that land for the city center.
The cities.
And so the idea was to change that into a convention center. And we didn't, again, this is the Glens Falls argument, so we didn't know if we wanted it to be an arena. You know, there was talk about that, make it an arena like Glens Falls was getting ready to do for hockey or some other basketball or something.
Right.
Or to make it a convention hall like the original convention hall where you would have conventions. I think our model is better.
Most definitely for the area here.
And again, Glens Falls, they're having a renaissance, so good for them. But, you know, the idea of having people come in for like 2 or 3 hours into downtown and then leave that day, there's no opportunity for hotels, there's no opportunity for extended spending, there's no opportunity. Right. So, you know, if you're here for 3 or 4 days, right, you have a built-in economy at that point. And
oh,
so,
definitely.
To some extent, and not 100%, but to some extent, the city center revitalized the downtown of Saratoga, because now you had people who were kind of a captive audience in downtown Saratoga for their, you know, New York State Teachers Conference that came here. They were here for 3 days. What am I going to do after 5 o'clock when the convention shuts down for the day? I'm going to go in downtown Saratoga and I'm going to shop, right?
Or eat dinner.
Yeah, or eat dinner.
I know I brought 2 Kiwanis conventions here.
Right.
And, you know, you come in Friday, you leave Sunday. You know, they're in the hotels and they have their, in the city center, they have their convention.
Yep.
But they do, when the overflow for the rooms, they stay at the Holiday Inn.
Yep.
And, you know, like you said, the stores offer discounts to whoever's in for conventions, and you've got people milling around. And what that does, too, is it brings them back. When they have a good experience, it brings them back to stay for the weekend.
Right, right. They come and visit for their vacation.
Right, and they come and visit.
Right, right.
So.
And, you know, from my perspective, New York State Association of Counties has come to Saratoga a couple times,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and we took them to the Racing Museum one time, right? I mean, that was one of our, you know, things, but... Those are 3-day conferences, and so for the 2 days that you're there, or that the other county officials are there, you know, they're looking for something to do at 5
exactly.
o'clock, and go out to dinner or whatever, and they love Saratoga. They want to come back, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe we can do that again at some point, but, you know, we took them to the Racino one time, and they really enjoyed that, and so there's interesting things.
Sure, you got
go
the Racino and the Harness Track.
Right.
Which is another,
by the way,
experience.
Opening day today. At the Harness Track.
Is it really?
Yeah, 5 p.m., I think, is post time.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so and the other there is other racing in Saratoga, so.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
It's been around long, you know, it's one of the great, you know, standards of Saratoga. It's been around a long time.
And the Racino is the one that really revitalized the harness racing in Saratoga because of the money. Could go into purses because that had even gone down over the years. Harness racing.
Oh, yeah.
But
there were some pretty dark times there for a while.
Now, just to throw in something again, my father's uncle, my great uncle, George Thompson, Jigger Thompson, was a sports writer for the Leader Herald, paper in Gloversville, and he's in the Standardbred Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool. Nice.
As a sports writer. He was one of the best. Recognized in the state.
And, yeah, I mean, that used to be really huge in Saratoga.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, that was, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people at the horse track.
Oh, my gosh. I remember coming up
every, and they would run every day.
Yeah.
Like, they would
every
run
night,
every day.
And I remember
year-round.
Coming up in the 70s.
Yep.
And when I worked at the Holiday Inn, the owners owned a couple horses, and they would bring me up. A couple of Jimmy Allen was their driver,
yep.
And it was mob.
Yeah,
it was mobbed up here.
I think right now they're doing 3 days a week.
Winter.
Yeah. So, it's again, starting today. And then, it's going to be post time this evening. But I actually kind of like it. It's a different way to watch races. It's a little slower.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a unique way to watch racing and horses. And again, it's part of our history here. So
yes, it is.
To have that. But so at the end of the day, when we got the city center where it was and through urban renewal, so a lot of those old buildings got torn down for it. Maybe at some point I'll try to explain the financing of how we financed it. But
yeah, because that's interesting too.
I can tell you that it's not legal to do it today, the way that they financed the city center.
Oh, my God.
It was back then, so we weren't doing anything wrong back
then.
And
this was back in the 60s or
80s.
70s. All right,
80s.
Late 70s
yeah,
and
yeah,
80s.
So
okay.
You can't do it the way that they did it anymore. And it was like I don't even remember exactly how it worked, but it was like
Well, you
some
get it for the
a,
next show.
Where you would put money in and then you would be able to make like a whole bunch of interest on it, so you profited from the investment, right? And it was like it wasn't a good way to do it.
Well, it worked because that's how
we financed it.
That's
but,
right.
But
that's
you know, but today you can't do it that way anymore. You can't actually have, you can't actually make more money than you're getting in.
Okay, all right.
for something that's a municipal project, right? So you couldn't do that anymore. But at some point I'll get into that. It was kind of interesting, but they created a board.
Yeah.
And authority. So that's the difference between Convention Hall and our city center now, is while it is a city asset and a city building on city property, the city center is its independent authority to raise money, run programming, do things. You know, it didn't come from the city government.
Keep the upkeep of the
building.
Keep
the upkeep.
That's right.
Fees that they made for conventions went to the city center. They don't go back into the city's general fund. So there's, you know, the city center has its own financial governance and process governance, right? So they, you know, they decide which conventions come. You know, there's a whole, you know, board that the city appoints, but basically runs the city center independently of the city government. And so... So that's good for the city center in the sense that they can kind of run their own show.
And it's good for the city.
And it's
good
for the city.
Because they don't have to worry about upkeep and maintenance and all that.
And you know, I know there's controversy about the parking garage and everything, but, you know, that's a city center. You know, the reason that it's paid parking is because the city center is in charge of that asset and making that money there.
Right.
So basically... You know, that's kind of where we are. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. 5 minutes ago.
When you did your little break, I was like, it's 40 minutes. I'm like, what did we talk about?
I know, really. Well, that's why you have to, you know, that's why this is going to be a series.
But just as the last note, I mean, you know, the pandemic has impacted them. And I think, you know, they're doing their best to try to, you know, keep themselves going.
Come on.
They're having a lot smaller conventions right now. And, you know, they have to work through all the... You know, various state mandates for the pandemic. You know, mask mandates, vaccination mandates, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we need to support them because it's a big part of our city.
Definitely.
So at the end of the day, I think it's a good thing. But
I think the restaurants and city centers and that took the brunt, are taking the brunt of the pandemic.
Yes,
small stores can come back. But it's the bigger venues that are really taking a beating.
And we talked about this in the last time I was here. I mean, the city's sales tax took a major hit during 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the county was fine for the most part. We took a hit. But because we had Walmart still open in Wilton and Clifton Park and Home Depot and Lowe's and all those big box stores never closed, the sales tax continued to flow through the county, but the city relies much more on tourism and restaurants and hotels, and the bottom fell out of that. So so it's really unfortunate. But at the end of the day, that's where we're at. And I hope people enjoyed it. Whoever's listening, and we'll do it again. There's more to talk about.
It's going up on YouTube and on the podcast page. So, and people do go, believe it or not, people do go and listen to the show on there. The lights are there. But
we will talk about springs, talk about urban renewal at one point again. I think we did one on that already, but we can do it again.
That was a long time ago.
And so. Another thing. I mean, there's many other things we can talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I'm happy to do it. I love Saratoga history. It's
well, as you can tell, the hour went by quickly. So, I know you like Saratoga history. You always put up on Facebook pictures of old Saratoga, through the years, and it's just a great thing. So, you're welcome back anytime. You know that, and it's part of a series. So whenever you're free, we'll get you in.
Great.
And like we had talked about, you have a perspective of how the county reacts with the city of Saratoga Springs, and how they developed, as we talked about, from the overflow of the prosperity of Saratoga. Because really, when we look at it, not from a historical point of view, but you got Clifton Park grew because of the Saratoga, basically, and the Northway. The Northway was really... But Clifton Park, you got Greenfield Center, Wilton, Schuylerville, they're all benefiting from basically the... business and influx of Saratoga.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I
think with things like Global Foundries coming, the main development areas of Saratoga County right now are that central area. So Malta, Ballston, those towns that never really were, they were very small towns.
That's right.
And now they're becoming really big towns.
Well, I was reading in the. That local first paper, the CEO of the hospital's retiring.
Yep.
And one of the pieces in that article was the how he was instrumental in putting that large medical center in Malta because of Global Foundries coming in and the expansion. Now, you drive through 9 into Malta. I mean, my gosh.
The housing development that's next to the old, like those hotels, like the old mall on the one side. I can't remember. If you're going north, I guess it's on the east side. No, it's on the west side of Route 9.
Okay.
There's this huge development that just got put in there.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, like, right next to it being built. I mean, it's like that town is growing, like, unbelievably.
Yeah, that's where all the doctor's offices are in that huge building.
Right.
And in the back of there, there's...
But even some of the outskirts of Ballston, Route 50. Go down Route 50 and you'll see it just doesn't look like you ever thought it did.
No.
And it's amazing how much
that's
growing.
The sad part about Ballston Spa is that there's only one main road. Route 50, and boy, the traffic can get really bad there.
Yep.
But that's expansion, and I think they have to figure a way out of skirt.
Yep. We've talked about it many times, and then it becomes like, as a county supervisor, the growth of the county, and then providing those services to people. Sure. And how do we do that as a county from facilities that are, and this is my specialty as buildings and grounds, facilities that were built in the 60s, and buildings that are no longer big enough. We don't have enough staff. We're trying to figure out how to put them into different places, and it's hard to serve at the point where we're growing that fast.
Exactly.
And so how do we grow, keep your taxes low,
sometimes,
right, and still serve the
sometimes
way we need to.
Rapid growth isn't good for some areas, because to keep up with that is very expensive.
Right.
And
right.
Matt, thanks for being with us today. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We're going to turn it over now to Homer Charbonneau for Homer in the Morning's Dance Party with the best music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So, Homer, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you very much. And, Matt, great show. Actually, I grew up in this area back in the 60s, and it was a walk down memory lane today.
Oh, cool.
And it started bringing back stories that I can remember, things that happened to me. And, like you mentioned, Clifton Park, I remember my father and I used to deliver Times Union bundles in the morning to two people in Clifton Park.
There you go.